Please turn in your copies of God's Word to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And this morning we continue to look at this final chapter in which the Apostle Paul gives a very practical application of the doctrines that he has taught throughout this letter. And last week we looked at how to resolve external conflict among members in the church. Well, here in our passage today, Paul turns the focus inwardly to the internal conflict that we so often experience. So with that in mind, lend your ear now to the reading of God's holy word from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Thus far the reading of God's word, let us ask his blessing on it. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. And this time we ask that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word. And we trust in the promise that the word will go forth and it will never return void. And we take comfort in the promise that you have preserved your word and kept it pure in all ages, that not one jot or tittle has been done away with. That the flower withereth in the, or that the grass withereth and the flower therein fadeth away. But we trust, Lord, that your word stands forever. And so, Lord, we thank you for this word and we ask now that you would bless the preached word, that this word would be explained and applied to our hearts in such a way that we receive it with gladness and with joy, and that it convicts us to go and live in light of it, that we do not just leave here thinking that was a good word, but then we leave here thinking, how can I make this word real in my own life? And that we would do it. Lord, be with the minister now as he preaches this word. Use him as a mouthpiece for your very word. And Lord, let us receive this preached word as the very word of God. Lord, cover the iniquities and the shamefulness of the preacher so that only Christ is made known today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. One of the major talking points in our society today is that of mental illness. It seems to be the focus of so many people, many of whom seem to operate from this notion that every person alive has some sort of mental illness. I find it incredibly disheartening to see online how many people make it out like having a mental illness is some sort of badge of honor, that it's something that one should be proud of. Now, before I go on a major tangent about this topic, please stop me and let me stop myself here by simply stating that what passes off as mental illness in the vast majority of cases today is more rightly understood to be spiritual illness. It's the effects of having spiritual problems. And those problems affecting one's physical being. Remember, friends, we are a psychosomatic unity. Our soul and our body are in unity. And so when our spiritual state is suffering, it can, and it often does, cause our physical state to suffer as well. And as many of you may know, I'm a biblical counselor. And this understanding of how the spirit and the body work together is the foundation for biblical counseling. And yet, this is not understood. This is not what's understood by the world in regards to counseling. The vast majority of our society has bought into a clinical or a medical or a psychological understanding of these things. And the number one issue that people are facing today is anxiety. This is why, as of 2020, over 40 million Americans have some clinically diagnosed form of anxiety and are taking any number of various anti-anxiety medications. And that number is very likely gone up since 2020, especially considering the events of 2020. But it's not just the world around us. The church is right there in the mix as well. Studies show that around 7% of professing Christians have some form of anxiety and are on medication for it. And you may think that's not a lot, 7%. But in reality, that's somewhere around 14.7 million professing Christians. This is a major problem. And there must be a solution to this problem. There must be an answer for the anxious. Brothers and sisters, today our text gives us that answer, and it really is quite simple. So the exhortation to you this morning is to cast your cares upon Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And we'll consider this, we'll consider three ways in which this is to be done. At first, it's to be done through prayer. and petition. Next, it is done through proper thinking. And then finally, it is done through practice. Paul uses verse 4 as a bridge between speaking on external conflict and internal conflict. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The solution for any form of conflict, whether it be between two fellow believers or it be within your own self, is to rejoice in the Lord no matter the circumstances. Whatever you're going through, prosperity or poverty, plenty or want, great harvest or drought, it ought to lead you to the same response, which is rejoice in the Lord. And this is so countercultural compared to what everything around us tells us to do. And this is this reasonableness, this moderation in the face of whatever may be happening in your lives. It'll catch others' attention. It'll catch the attention of those around you. Paul says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We are to understand him as exhorting these saints to endure all of these things with a godly composure. Calvin says that this term is one that is made use of by the Greeks themselves to denote moderation of spirit. When we are not easily moved by injuries, when we are not easily annoyed by adversity, but retain equanimity of temper. We're unshakable. That is the moderation which is to be made known, trusting in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. And then there's this great comfort that is given that the Lord is at hand. Now some would take this to reference the Lord's second coming. From the context in which Paul is speaking, it seems that he's using it to speak of the fact that the Lord is near to those who are in affliction. Friends, Christ Jesus has sent us his Spirit to come alongside us and to care for us in our time of need. He's spoken of as that great comforter. How great a comfort is it that you have the Lord himself protecting and comforting you, drawing near to you in your time of need. And so it is with that in mind that he gives the command in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, does this mean that we are to care for nothing at all? Well, of course not. Matthew Henry writes, there is a care of diligence, which is our duty, and consists in a wise forecast and due concern. But there is a care of diffidence and distrust, which is our sin and folly, and which only perplexes and distracts the mind. This is what Paul has in mind here. And so the first way in which the apostle instructs us to fulfill this obligation to be careful for nothing is through prayer and petition. Look with me at verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is with prayer and supplication that we can overcome the anxieties of this life. Crying out to the Lord, the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things, the one who is sovereign over all, is what you are called to do. This is how you make your needs made known before Jehovah. And you can be sure that He will hear your cries and answer them according to His holy will. David understood this, as we see in Psalm 18 and verses 5 and 6. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Friends, it is the will of the Lord for you to be freed from anxieties and worry. In Matthew 6:31, Christ says, "Therefore take no thought." And that phrase can also rightly be translated, "Do not worry." In Luke 12:11, we see the same phrase used again. John 14:1, we read, "Let not your heart be troubled." 1 Corinthians 7:32, we read, "But I would have you without carefulness." In the English Standard Version, the ESV, it translates that verse, "I want you to be free from anxieties." The Lord's desire is clear, and so you must trust in Him. That's the root of all our anxieties, a lack of trust in God. So often we forget how great and mighty He is, that He is sovereign over all. And this is why we are so quickly, even at the littlest thing, thrown into the depths of anxiety. Because we far too often forget the fact that Jehovah cares for us. So you're called to pray. To cry out unto Him. Because this is the primary way that we show our submission to Him and our trust in Him. You're to pray like this in everything. That is, in every situation, in every trial, in every tribulation, in every temptation, in every triumph, in every joy, in every sorrow, in when the future is uncertain and you're tempted to worry. In everything, pray. When the Lord provides, and even before He does provide, you must pray with thankfulness, knowing that He will answer your prayers. So often we pray urgently when the crisis comes, and when God is gracious to us to bring us through it, do we linger in the presence of God to give Him praise and to thank Him? Our lack of thankfulness it probably relates directly to our lack of faith and our growing anxiety. If we took note of answers to prayer and give thanks, then we'd boost our faith and remind ourselves that the Lord is the hearer of prayers. In my counseling people, I would often tell them to keep a prayer journal for this specific purpose. To record what their prayers were and then record how it is that God answered those prayers so that they can give thanks to Him for it. What a marvelous encouragement it is to be a people of prayer. So I ask you, do you attend the church's weekly prayer meeting, time when we corporately pray together? Do you pray in your home? Do you pray in everything and in every circumstance of life? If you neglect prayer, then no wonder anxiety lays siege to your hearts and invades your minds. You need Christ's own peace to keep your hearts and minds as you go through this life, and that is done through prayer and petition. But prayer and petition is not the only thing that is to be done in casting your cares upon the Lord. There must be proper thinking. Look with me at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What is anxiety but thinking in a way that creates worry in your own mind? If you are to be freed from anxiety, then these worrisome thoughts must be cast out and they must be replaced with new thoughts. So what are the things that you are to think on? Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And you're probably saying, yes, Pastor Josh, I know what Paul said, but what are these things? Where can such things be found? Well, I want to turn your attention to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Friends, you cannot have any hope of being freed from anxiety if you are not rooted in the Word of God. That is what Paul is instructing you to think on. Nothing else in this world will satisfy you. Nothing else in this world will comfort you. If you want rest for your weary heart, then there is only one place to turn, and that is Jehovah and His Word. So I ask you, what things are you thinking on? So much of what we consume with our eyes and ears on a daily basis is designed to stir up emotions and to strike fear and anxiety in the mind. You know, sometimes you just need to turn off Fox News or CNN or Facebook or Twitter. And you need to empty your mind of those vain things. And then you must fill your mind with the things of God, the things of His Word. Remind yourselves of His promises, that He is faithful and that He will remain faithful to His covenant people. Remind yourself that there is not a sparrow which the Lord does not care for. and that there is not a single hair that falls from your head without the Lord's doing. Those who look here and there for vain comforts of the world, they may appear to a degree to be relieved. But there is only one sure refuge, leaning upon the Lord. Are you leaning upon the Lord? Are you making His thoughts your thoughts? Is that mind in you which is also in Christ Jesus, as we have seen earlier in this letter? I don't normally do this, but I want to tell you a personal story of how this way of thinking transformed me and relieved me of anxieties. When I got back from Iraq, I had some problems with anxiety. Now, I wasn't in the heat of combat, but I did see some very gruesome things and experience some incredibly high stress events. Certain things after I got home would cause many panic attacks. But when I was at RPTS, at seminary, I started receiving counseling. And in that, I was instructed to take a psalm and commit it to memory. And whenever something happened that would cause moments of anxiety, I was to recall that psalm and sing it. And friends, it works. Psalm 46 became such a great comfort to me that what was once nearly daily bouts of anxiety have now become almost non-existent. Will you do the same thing? Commit a portion of the Word of God to memory and use it as a shield against the anxious thoughts of your own mind. I love the blunt way in which D.A. Carson says this quote, "If you think holy thoughts, you will be holy. And if you think garbage, you will be garbage." Friends, how true is that? How true is it that what you think on affects who you are? Beloved, if you are to cast your cares upon Christ, you must have proper thinking. And all of this must impact the way that you live your life. So much of our lives is consumed by the trivial duties of being in this world. But your prayer life and your way of thinking must inevitably affect your practice. So look with me at verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You must put all these things into practice. They must become part of your daily life. And interestingly enough, Paul once again tells these saints at Philippi to follow the example that he has set for them. This is now the third time in which he uses himself as an example. Take the things that you have learned, the things which you have been instructed in, and put them into practice. It's not enough to simply know the right things or believe the right things. You must do the right things, or else it is evident that the truth which you profess may not have changed your life. You must obey what is required of you in Scripture. You must live a Christian life. You must follow the apostolic teaching and example that is laid out for you in the Word of God. I can assure you that the sure way in which to guarantee that your life will be plagued with anxieties and worries is to be disobedient to the commands of the Lord. To live a disobedient life. If you want to be anxious, if you want to worry, disobey the Lord. We see in Psalm 19 and verse 11, speaking of the law of the Lord, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." The reward for keeping the commands of the Lord is a closer communion with Him, which will always bring about a comfort in the soul. But if in keeping them there is great reward, then in disobeying them there is no reward. The hand of the Lord's blessing will be far from you if you are far from Him in your actions with disobedience. So you must examine yourselves to see where it is that you are living in disobedience to Him and repent. When was the last time you truly took a spiritual inventory of your life? When was the last time that you said with the psalmist in Psalm 39 and verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Friends, if you are living an unrepentant, disobedient life, then the call to you today is to repent and turn to Christ. Perhaps the reason that your life has been plagued with great anxiety is because you do not have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Perhaps the reason you do not have that peace is because you do not know the Prince of Peace. You've never been captivated by His love, shown the beauty of His holiness, been confronted by the vileness of your sin, and come unto a saving knowledge of Him. And if that's you, then I plead with you to turn from your wicked ways and turn unto Christ. The anxieties of this life will be nothing compared to the eternal torment which awaits you in hell if you are not found in Him. Come unto Him this day and be made clean. Come unto Him this day and be made new. Come unto Him this day and receive the peace which passeth all understanding. Come unto Him. But maybe you're sitting there and that's not you. You are in Christ, but you still fight that constant battle against anxiety. Saints, cast your cares upon Christ Jesus. Cry out to Him to preserve you from this great affliction. Examine your hearts to see the ways in which you have been disobedient to His commands and repent of them. We're 4 weeks away from coming to the Lord's table and partaking of the sacrament of communion together. And the command to you is to come prepared, to come having examined yourself and having repented of your sins. If anxiety has made its bed within your own soul, then I call on you to spend these weeks in self-examination, prayer, and repentance. But maybe you're here today and you do not fight that battle against anxiety. And rejoice in the Lord. Praise His holy name and give thanks unto Him for His mercy which He has shown you. But don't be so complacent as to think that you will never experience a great affliction of anxiety. Prepare yourself now by taking these things which you have learned and received and heard and seen, and do them now. Do not wait until you have to be on the defensive. Prepare yourself now. Everyone here has a duty to ensure that their practice is one of Christian conduct. This is the way that the God of peace will be with you, to keep close to your duty to Him. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that your hearts will not be troubled. I pray that you will know that peace which passeth all understanding. I pray that you will be careful for nothing, that you will worry for nothing, that you will be anxious for nothing. Our passage today is meant as a comfort, a practical means by which you may know that the Lord is near and He's coming alongside of you through whatever it is that you go through. This passage is speaking about the careful, patient spreading of our needs before God, detailing our situation and our anxieties. This is what it means to cast our burdens on the Lord in the assurance that He will sustain us, as Psalm 55:2 says. The ways of this world will not remedy what ails you. Popular psychology will not remedy what ails you. Anti-anxiety medication will not remedy what ails you. Only the Lord can do that. And He promises that He will if you only lean upon Him. Pray in every circumstance with thanksgiving in your heart. Be saturated with the Word so as to be able to recall Jehovah's great promises. Reach out to someone if you need help in fighting this battle. You're not alone. Your elders are here to counsel you through whatever it is that afflicts you. We are not the answer, but we know the One who is. So reach out if you need help and cast your cares upon Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we come to You and we do thank You that You are the God who hears our prayers. That we cry out to You and You hear our cries. And it stirs within You an action to answer our cries, to answer our prayers, to preserve and protect Your people. Lord, we all have anxieties and worries in one degree or another. Some of us here may be struggling with crippling anxiety. Lord, if that is the case, then we ask that the peace which passeth all understanding will come upon them, and they will know the comfort that they have in You. And even these little worries that we all experience, they are nothing but a lack of trust in Your sovereignty. And so, Lord, we turn to You, praying to You, trusting in You, resting in Your sovereignty. Lord, let us never forget that the Word of God is sufficient for all matters of life and godliness. That all Scripture is given by inspiration. to rebuke, reprove, correct, and instruct in all righteousness. And that this scripture is given to us that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us not look to the ways of the world to find relief from anxiety, but let us turn to the Word of God and to the Lord who is the maker of heaven and earth. Father, let us trust in you and what you have given us, because that is the answer for the anxious, the living and active Word of God. So we trust in you. Thank you for the great comfort that you have comforted us with. And we ask, Lord, that you would protect us and preserve us from any attacks of the enemy and whatever may come our way. In all circumstances, in everything that we experience, Lord, let us rejoice always. So we ask these things in Christ's name.